So guys, this is Lovemore and this is Blair, and they're going to be baptizing the guys this morning. Okay, will we get on with it? Okay, right, Gavin. Let's get Gavin forward. He is. This is our friend Gavin. We've known Gavin for a few years now. Gave his life to Jesus in our church a couple of years ago. And we're delighted to be able to do this today. So Gavin's going to just tell us a bit about himself before we baptize him.
Thanks, Andrew. I noticed Andrew say a thing twice, I think it was. He said, hot tub. I'm kind of hopeful that's the case, but well, I think it might be more a tepid tub anyway. So, my story. I wasn't brought up as a Christian. I wasn't brought up going to church every Sunday morning, but I was brought up with Christian values. It was just love everybody, be kind to everybody, and show compassion for everyone. And that has just been a theme through my whole life. So I gave my life to Jesus. I said yes at a baptism service a few years ago now. And it's been quite a long time coming, this. So I've been working on the media desk at the back for a few years. I've been on the host team. I've been helping out. But it's always kind of felt a bit like I've been, just as Andrew was saying, on the sidelines. I've been for it, but not with Jesus. So this felt like the next logical step in my journey. And yeah, I'm quite excited to see what comes next, really. I didn't practice this, just in case anyone couldn't tell. I had no idea what I was going to say. So I thought that if I was going to ramble on a bit too long, then we were just going to have to hold my head under the water a little bit longer. But so I think that's all I want to say for now. Thank you.
So, Gavin, I'm going to ask you three questions, and then we'll see the answer to that, whether what happens next. So, Gavin, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your sins and that God raised him from the dead, and that you commit your life to serve him and live for him?
Yes, I do.
Well, Gavin, on the confession of your faith, it is our pleasure... We're out of practice. Well, Gavin, on the confession of your faith, it is our pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Sarah in there, that's Gavin's wife, Sarah, and just told me that we were playing this song or singing this song when Gavin got saved. That song, we didn't know. Isn't that amazing?
That is the beauty of God.
Amazing. Okay, we'll do another one. Time for another one. John O. Guys, this is Jono. We've known Jono for about three or 4 years now. We love this guy, don't we?
Yeah.
No, we've just seen this guy go through so much. And to see him today, like full of life, full of personality, like the best version of himself, to coin a modern phrase. It's just been amazing. And God has just done amazing things in his life. And what's been great is he's done it in front of us. We've seen it happen. So, Jono.
Hello. So I've been asked a few times this morning, are you nervous about this? And I've honestly answered no, but that actually was the case until about 2 minutes ago when I saw Gavin walk away, and I was like, oh, I'm next. So basically my story. So I grew up in church, a Christian family. Kind of really drifted away when I was about 14, 15-ish. Wasn't really particularly interested or anything like that. And like just kind of went on with my life that kind of way. And then, but I think things really dramatically, in short, really changed in my life for the worse when I was about, when I was 17, when my best friend took his own life. And that just caused like tremendous depression and all that comes with, and the grief and that, eh? And then I kind of battled through that for quite a few years. But like as I kind of went on living like away from God, like I just slowly but surely started to feel like a lot of conviction in my life, the way I was acting, the way I was like behaving. I started feeling really convicted for a lot of things that I was doing that were not right. And then I decided to come here to Falkirk Vineyard because my parents were coming along, and was a little bit of peer pressure from them. I attended, yeah, and I came to the Alpha course. Again, with some peer pressure from my parents, and but like, I was like really wanting to come back and give God a real chance in my life, and like things really changed at the Alpha course for me. When, in actual fact, it was Gavin who just went before me that said a prayer there, and he just generally prayed if there's anyone here that's needing any kind of healing, that God would heal them. And I'm not even joking, just like that, everything changed for me. Like, the depression was just done, basically. Like, it's not got that kind of grip on me anymore. And, like, my life ever since has changed. I'm now actually studying theology at college, hopefully graduating this year, hopefully.
Right, Jono, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that God raised him from the dead? And do you commit to serve him and live for him for the rest of your life?
Yeah, I do.
Then, Jono, on the confession of your faith, it's our pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Jono makes a bit of a mess, eh? Dear me, here I'm. That's my good genes, man. Anyway. Well, that was good. Okay. We've got time for another one. So we're going to invite Ellie to come up. Ellie, we have not long met, because Ellie came, she'll tell you probably this, but she came to our church just when we came back from being online and in person Ellie came to us and then gave her life to Jesus a couple of weeks later. So delighted to be getting to know you, Ellie. So let's hear from you.
I feel kind of bad because I've got this like massive sheet and everyone else didn't. But yeah, so I grew up in a household with no like specific religion. And my parents gave me the ability to choose if I wanted to be religious, but I'd never really thought about it. In my life before Jesus, I found it really hard to describe. Sorry, my hands are like shaking right now. Since I was about 16, I never really understood where my life was going. And since I was 17, I've been mentally ill, and I currently still suffer from some low, hopeless kind of feelings. And before I found Jesus, I kind of was lost, and I didn't really have any sense of who I was left. And I believed that answers to my issues were in things that caused damage to myself rather than what I thought. Things like heavy drinking and casual sex at parties, things that I knew didn't have proper answers just because I was aiming to escape from how I was feeling. Sorry. But I knew deep down, like, nothing would change. And what I was experiencing was causing me so much pain, and just I just completely lost who I was. And I knew that I had to make a change. And when I began attending church in September, I was really, really wary about it. As my all of my previous experiences at church as a queer woman were not great at all. But the more I attended, the more I began to feel at peace with myself. And following a service, and I talked to so many of the inspirational young people of this church about everything to do with faith, I decided to give my life to Jesus. And from that moment that I repented for my sins and placed my trust into him, I knew that my life had changed completely. And the first time I opened my own Bible, which, where is he? Jonathan got me. I flicked open to Psalm 119, and verse 105 stood out, and it reads, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Let me just turn that around. And when I read this verse, I realized why my faith was becoming so important to me. I lost so much of myself in that moment. Sorry. I knew that there was no wound large enough to heal that God can, large enough, sorry, that God can heal. And I said I wouldn't cry. And I realized soon that this journey in faith was not going to be easy, and there was so many things that I'm yet to understand within Scripture that I have to accept regardless. And taking those steps in faith have been some of the most challenging parts in faith so far. And choosing to become baptized, I feel, will allow me to place my trust into Jesus and center my life with him. And knowing that I had been saved was one of these rare moments that no matter how bad I thought things could be or how alone I feel, that God will always be there with me. God has taught me that love is limitless, and to feel that is something I can't even describe. Yeah.
Okay, Ellie, this is it. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your sin and that God raised him from the dead? And do you commit your life to serve him and live for him for the rest of your life?
Yeah, I do.
So, Ellie, on the confession of your faith, it is our pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Believe in the name of Jesus. the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
I don't know if I can take any more. But we plow on. So we're going to invite Iona to come now. I don't know what I'd say separately for Iona and Caitlin, because they've kind of come to us as a package. Other to say that Iona is just such a joy to be around. She's such a beautiful person, so encouraging, and we just loved getting to know you this past wee while, so I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
So I wasn't really sure what to say this morning. I'm quite a last minute person, so I wrote this last night. I'm not sure how much of it I'll use, and I'll be honest, I don't like public speaking, so I'm actually going to start with verse from the Bible that my dad gave me to me this morning. So my dad was baptized 28 years ago today, which he just realized when the date seemed familiar. It's Psalm 27, verse 1 to 5. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advanced against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. And this verse just means a lot to me, because the past few years have been filled with fear for me. And it's really been Jesus that has put me high upon a rock and just taken away so many of those fears. And the anxiety is still something that I'm working on every day, but God has made it so much easier for me. So I'll just read a bit about my testimony, and I'm going to be very candid. So I grew up in a Christian family with amazing parents, such great family, such great support. We went to church on Sundays, and we'd pray together before bed every night. And I remember I would race through the exact same rehearsed prayer every night before bed just so I could get to sleep. I didn't really enjoy it. Praying felt like a chore. I had times when I'd really enjoy spending time with Jesus. I remember that in school, I'd pray to God that I'd get picked for certain games that were fun, and all the time I'd get picked if I prayed. So I knew prayer worked. And I'd pretend to be holding God's hand, walking to school every day, and I'm sure he was holding mine when I think about it now. But somewhere along the way, I did fall away from my faith. I just couldn't wait to become old enough to stay home on Sunday mornings and reclaim the time that I felt had been stolen from me. I was missing birthday parties and just time I could be spending with my friends. And I felt quite angry at my parents for wanting me to stay in church. So when I became old enough, they gave me the choice and I chose to stop going. So this was probably around the age of 13 or 14 that I'd spend just my days by myself on Sundays. And unlike I had imagined, this did not make me feel happier and more free. Instead, I had put strain on my relationship with my family, and I was beginning to completely lose touch with God. In the years following, I started to feel a real emptiness and pain, which I couldn't pinpoint the exact reason for. I tried to remedy these feelings with unhealthy habits. I was such a heavy drinker. in the past few years, before I stopped drinking, I don't drink anymore, thank you, Jesus. I was drinking probably every night. It was a really unhealthy habit. Earlier in my teenage years, I really battled with disordered eating, whether not eating enough or forcing myself to not keep down what I had eaten. And all of this stuff was kept so secret about the drinking and the eating disorders. I then started taking drugs. I fell in with the wrong crowds. I was smoking weed a lot and just taking drugs like coke and Mandy, just living really recklessly. I didn't care about my own safety. And I was sleeping with countless men. After school, I took a gap year and I went to Malaysia. I was teaching English in an Islamic boarding school, which was a really great experience, but my mental health was so low at the time. And when I was traveling, some really traumatic things happened to me that I won't go further into. So I ended up coming back early in that December, so I was only there for about 6 months. And when I got back, I didn't really tell people what happened. So it just seemed like I couldn't hack the gap year. But last year I moved to Aberdeen to start university, and I was just out of a relationship, which wasn't the healthiest. Again, lots of drugs, just bad habits. And the traumatic events from Malaysia were starting to sink in. I had a huge mental breakdown, and I didn't sleep at all for, I think, about 9 days. I was absolutely petrified, and my mind felt like a really unsafe place. I'd never felt so scared and alone, and I knew I had to speak to someone. So I called my best friend, who wasn't a Christian or anything, and through my tears, I told her that I didn't think I could go on anymore. But somehow we got onto the topic of God. And suddenly there was a physical shift in the atmosphere of my room, and I knew the Holy Spirit was with me. Sorry, I didn't think I'd cry. And this is when I asked God back into my life. And all the fear turned to perfect peace in that very instant. And during the time that I drifted away from faith, I'd completely lost sight of the gospel. I thought my sin was just too great to be forgiven. But Jesus reminded me that he had paid the full price and that nothing I had done was enough to prevent my salvation through the grace of God. And just looking at the snow today, it reminds, I can't remember which verse it is, but about God making our sins white as snow, like making us white as snow, even though our sins were like scarlet. So I just think it's so beautiful that this is the first snowfall of the year. So this is why I want to get baptized, to publicly declare that I want to live the rest of my life for Jesus and to turn away from my old way of living. And just to say that I really want Jesus too, and I'm so thankful that he wants me. Yeah.
Do you know, that was just like a gift. That was just a gift this morning for you, that snow, because God knew about that connection for you and how that made you feel, the snow. So the snow this morning was all for Iona. Well, Iona, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your sin and God raised you from the dead? God raised him from the dead, not you. And do you commit your life to serve him and live for him for the rest of your life?
Yes, I do.
Wonderful. So, Iona, on the confession of your faith, it is our pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection where Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Come on, Caitlin. Let's do this. So Caitlin is Iona's big sister, and not only have we had the joy of getting to know Iona over these past few months, but also Caitlin. I mean, we'd have been happy with one, but two is like a dream. They are just amazing, lovely, lovely people. We just love them so much. So Caitlin, we are looking forward to hearing from you.
Hi, guys. I'm also very nervous about this, so I had to write it like word by word, so I'm sorry if it gets a bit monotonous or anything, but please bear with. So it's quite a similar story to Iona. Obviously, we grew up in the same family. I was fairly involved with church. I went to Soul Survivor during the summer, and I don't remember a massive amount, but I do remember it was the start of a personal relationship with Jesus and that I genuinely encountered him there. However, after returning home from these summer events, my life never really showed the fruit of that relationship because I didn't prioritize him at all. And then it kind of led to a massive sense of spiritual apathy in my life. I just didn't really care for Jesus. I didn't think about him that much. It wasn't that important. When I was around 14 or 15, I started partying and dating guys that were a bit older. And then the years that followed were comprised of sleeping around, broken up by a series of toxic relationships. In addition, I was going out several times a week, and more often than not, I was blacking out and waking up with no recollection of how I made it home. I smoked a lot of weed as well, and took other stuff as well. And I thought at the time that that was giving me life. Like I found people that were doing the same sort of thing. Like, it gave me so much life. But in fact, like, the come downs just made me really empty inside. Not knowing who I was waking up to made me feel really empty inside. And despite this, it would come the evening and then I'd forget about how empty I felt and I'd do it again. So I was in a kind of cycle for a couple of years. But thankfully, in the penultimate year of my degree, I met a really great guy who I dated for about a year and a half. And that kind of caused me to kind of calm down a bit. I stopped going out as much. I stopped partying as much. And it was the first good relationship I'd really had, because before that, it's been a bit of a mess. And around this time, Iona went to uni to go to Aberdeen. And she, like myself, as she said, she went off a bit off the rails. So it was quite interesting to hear her stories of like her adventures and stuff up there. But there was about a week where I didn't hear anything from her, and that was quite weird because usually we'd speak like every day. And then in the middle of the night one night, I got a message from her saying that Jesus had saved her life and that she was a Christian now. And I was just so confused because that was just like not what I was expecting. Over the next couple of months, we like chatted about faith and stuff. Obviously, I was familiar with these things because I'd grown up in church, so it wasn't like completely new to me. But the thing that struck me was like her personality completely changed. And her new zeal for Jesus literally just inspired me so much. And I just wanted that. Like, I saw the change that he'd made in her life, and it was so amazing and powerful. So I didn't have a Bible at the time, or I did, but I couldn't find it. So I just bought a new Bible and I started reading. And I was praying as well and speaking out to God. And I started to learn more about God. And eventually I did tell my friends and my boyfriend at the time that I was now living for Jesus and that I love Jesus. But that was kind of always met with like good for you, because I didn't really have a circle of friends that knew Jesus. So it was kind of hard to like relate. The more like I just read and learned about God, I kind of, like Jonathan, started feeling really convicted about things. And the most significant was that obviously like I was in a relationship with someone who wasn't a Christian. So I told him, I was like, I don't want to have sex anymore. And he was like, okay, it's not going to work. And now I'm like, that makes sense. He didn't know Jesus. That's completely fair. But that was kind of like quite a big turning point, giving up that life and that relationship, which I felt so much comfort in. But yeah, it all happened really quickly, and it was just a question of being obedient to Jesus. If I wanted to follow him, I had to just stop. But yeah, and then after that situation, I kind of needed a bit of support. I started seeing a Christian counselor, and I felt quite guilty about some of the things in my past. We're almost done, sorry. And I felt really guilty about some stuff I'd done in my past before, and it was so silly. I was asking her what I needed to do to right the wrong. And I was genuinely, for this brief period, and I don't know what it was, but I genuinely was worried that my salvation depended on me fixing this stuff, and it's so silly. But I think at some point during my incredibly lukewarm period, I'd like lost sight of the gospel, and I'd maybe dislodged the message from me. And maybe it was the enemy lying to me, telling me these things in the hopes to condemn me and pull me away from God. But anyway, my counselor reminded me of the gospel, that we are saved through faith, by grace, not by our own works. And the weight of this truth sank into my spirit for the first time in such a long time. I realized that there's nothing I can do to make God love me more any less than he already does, and that Jesus died for me even when I didn't even care about him. And this reckless, incomprehensible, and supernatural love of God just completely blew my mind, that he wanted to be so near me, and I could never pay my way into heaven. I could never right the wrongs. I would never be able to do that. And that's just the same for every single person, that regardless of the thing that you feel most guilty about, he paid the price, so you do not need to feel guilty about that anymore. No sin is too bad for him to forgive. That we're never too far away from God, and he's constantly chasing us down. So it's through trusting in the death and resurrection of Jesus for my salvation that I'm a daughter of God, and I want to be baptized today as a public declaration. I believe this, and I give my whole entire life to God, and I want to make his name great and glorify him in everything I do. And the fact that I have my future secured in heaven with him is just the most amazing thing. And my prayer is that there's hardened hearts all around the world, but I just pray that they are melted by his reckless love, and this same transformation can happen in other people's lives as well. So, yeah.
Wow. What powerful, powerful testimonies these have all had this morning of the transforming grace, love, and power of the one who loves us, right? Fantastic. Right, this is it, the big moment. So, Caitlin, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for your sin, and that God raised him from the dead? And do you commit your life to serve him and to live for him for the rest of your life?
I do.
Then, Caitlin, on the confession of your faith, it is our great pleasure to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Okay, guys, let's just stand. We're going to worship.
Jesus cry to final breath. Oh, Jesus command.